when I was still a young man studying in the university. I had a group of friends who were really loving the Lord, and we used to group together and we just worship God. We would Kara, can I have a little bit more, please? We would gather together in our music room in the university, and we will spend hours there in the presence of God, just worshiping Him and loving Him, until we sense the power of God, the anointing of God just coming upon us. During that time, I was also involved in intercession with this church. I want to thank Auntie Lanfone for really training me in intercessory prayer. We come here every Sunday and just intercede for the church. And God began to put a burden into my heart for the people here and the need to stay. So what happened was, during my uni days, I was looking forward to what I was going to do and what was God's plan for me. And you know, I've already said this before, that as a musician, my dream was to be overseas elsewhere to study music. All right? But what happened was, during the last year of my study there, my friend, a good friend of mine, has a cousin who is a prophetess. Okay, and we met through a divine appointment. She began to prophesy over my life. She said that you will be an administrator of a very renowned music school. She said that the music school is white in color, blue roof with golden trimmings. She saw into the spirit realm what was going to take place in my life. She saw papers all around me. All right? So I want to tell you, years later, God began to put me with Trinity College London. Okay, can we have a look at the picture? All right. What color is the building? All right. What color is the roof? Blue. Do you see golden trimmings? Can we have the other picture? Okay. This is the Old Royal Naval College in the UK, Greenwich. Okay, I visited there twice, but okay, never mind. Okay. I was going to say, I hope that I will get to study there one day. All right? But who knows, huh? What God has in store. Okay, so this is important. Why is it that I'm telling you this? Because it is partly because of Trinity College London's work in Penang and my involvement with it. That is why I stayed back. All right? And because of this school, I have seen, because of the plans of God for me with this school, God has allowed me to reap many souls. All right, two of my students here are actually brought to the Lord. God gave me the opportunity. Jesse and Chiawang, they are here this morning. I just want you to know that it is in God's plan that you have been saved. All right, now of course it's not easy. All right, but I can tell you that when you step into the plans of God, the destiny of God, the word God gave me was destiny. God is going to release destinies for all of us. Now, why is it so important? Yeah, destinies will cause us to be aligned into God's best, where whatever we do, we will be fruitful. Okay, not that there will not be challenges. There will be challenges, but you can see the hand of God, the unseen hand of God, just blessing you as you are there. All right, now what happened after that? I can tell you that because I stayed, many things happened. All that I desired from overseas, right? If I were to go overseas and study, and if I were to come back, then I will be a very famous music teacher with my master's, PhD, yeah? But God chose not to allow me to go into that route. I had to trust Him with His plans, with His destiny for my life. And as a result, I began to see the miraculous workings of God in my career, in my ministry, in many, many things, up to today. You've heard me share in my last sermon how God really flipped the whole thing and just brought peace into my heart, because He allowed me to teach the highest level diploma, and my student got passed that level. You know, I don't even have that level, and God made me teach and pass that level. You know, caused my student to pass that level. You know, I said there many times where I felt that I wanted to go, and I think God would have allowed it. But you know what? I have a feeling in my heart. I just felt that perhaps if I have gone, that would not have been God's best for me. Do you know that because I did not go, God, one of the instances that happened was God began to open up an opportunity for me to be connected to a world-renowned composer by the name of Christopher Norton. Christopher Norton is a very renowned composer in the world. If you know, if you are a classical pianist and if you're a music teacher, you will know this name. Imagine this book has my face on it and his face on it and Lucy's face on it. Who are we? Who am I? And who's Lucy? Of course, Lucy is a graduate from Trinity College London. Who am I? You see how I'm trying to tell you, church, that if you begin to step into what God has for you, His destiny, you begin to see the wonder-working works of God in your life. One of the dreams of a music teacher is actually for his students to do very well in the exams. Now, I'm a good music teacher, okay, by the grace of God. But it is God alone who can put that finishing touch, that touch of excellence. You know, year after year, I see results, students scoring full marks for their pieces. Is that possible? If you say one, then it's perhaps a fluke, okay, or by chance. But I've got many. They score so-called perfect marks in the exam, even up to diploma level. This is miraculous. This is the hand of God. Soul saved in the process. And also because I stayed, and God began to use me to write songs. And the songs God has used to be released into the nations, especially in our nation today. God has used the songs to bless people. Many people tell me, oh, Raymond is anointed, da 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 da. I say, yeah. Yeah, but it is quite costly lah, huh? Okay, cost my heart, okay, my desires. But you know what? I have a feeling, church, God will give it back to me even better. Okay, that's God's plan. You know, I think I want to release this. Just the other day, you know, I was just thinking about Trinity College London again, and you know, I heard the Lord telling me, you know, I brought you so far just to leave you like that. I brought you so far just to leave you like that. I don't know what he means, yeah, but I do mean that there is further plans for me in the future. All right, so for you, I want to release this word for you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Very simple. Every time we hear it, all right, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Then you will come and pray to me, all right, and seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. Which one comes first? The plan or the prayer? God's plan comes first or our prayers? Church, God's plans. As God begin to reveal and release those plans to you and I, we will begin to seek Him. And trust me, church, as you begin to align, you will see the hand of God coming upon your situation and upon your life. Okay, I know what I'm talking about here. And if it can happen to me in my life, I pray that it will happen to you as well. You want that, church? Amen. You want God's destiny? Okay, I want to talk to the old people, yeah? Can or not, auntie, uncle? I want to encourage you and to tell you your time is not over yet, okay? Don't retire. Jesus had 3 years to fulfill his public ministry and he caused the heavens havoc. Now, I want to tell you, this next year, auntie, uncle, can you please, for our sake, for the sake of the younger generation in this church, I plead with you, would you pray for us? Would you pray for us that we will step into God's best for our lives and for this church? More than you ever realized, I just want to tell you right now, your prayers, your presence, your encouragement, they matter to the people of this church. I feel the Lord telling me it is not time for you to retire. If Jesus has only 3 years to change the world, you give yourself 3 years, you will change our world. Amen? Okay, that's just the introduction, yeah. But I just have to share this with you. And I try to really make it short, okay, today. Okay, the unseen realm, okay. So I'm just going to read from SRM and then just go on, yeah. So God's creation consists of realities that from our perspective are partly seen and partly unseen. He is the maker and ruler of both. We are called to live in a material world, but to be engaged in His workings in both the seen and the unseen arenas. Okay? So, through our discussion at the SRM, I've kind of summarized this topic into three basic principles. Okay? Can we have the three basic principles? Okay? Young people up there, God has a plan for you. Young adults, God has a plan for you, yeah? Where's the... Do we have it? If none means I have the free flow, you know? I should! Okay. The unseen world. Okay, the first point is that the unseen world is as real as the seen world. Okay, if not more real. Okay, however, too often we only look at the natural world. Okay, and now we often receive data through our five senses. Okay, our eyes, our ears, okay, and all sorts. And it is by that process that we process them through our souls most of the time, rather than our spirits. Okay? So, if we will just look at the natural realm, we will never change the world around us. Okay? So, as Christians, we need to learn how to look into the supernatural. Okay? And why is it real? I want to read from 2 Kings 6 verses, 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 8 to 23. Okay, the account of the king of Israel versus the king of Syria, I think. Okay, so I'll read from verse 15. Yeah. So when the servant of the man of God rose in the morning and went out, behold, an army of horses and chariots are all around the city. And the servant said, "At last, my master, what shall I do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are against..." For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And the Syrians came down against him. Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance to the prayer of Elisha. Now, in this passage, we can see that the Bible is full of supernatural workings of God. Okay, and it is very clearly that in this passage that Elijah was seeing with supernatural eyes, but his servant was seeing with natural eyes. Okay, Elisha saw the greater and more powerful angel armies of God, which are the horses and chariots of fire, and that was surrounding the place and protecting him from harm. On the other hand, his servant only saw the opposition's army and was afraid until Elisha prayed for his eyes to be opened to see the unseen realm. What's the lesson here? The lesson here is that the unseen realm is real. Everybody stay with me. The unseen realm is real. Okay, amen. So make sure you know what you're saying, because you'll be seeing. God's angels' armies are in the supernatural realm. However, many are blinded to see. Okay, so that's point number one. All right. Now, some pictures of unseen realms in the scripture. Okay, in the scripture we have there are mentions of angelic beings, which are God's angels' armies. We have like Michael, the archangel, and also Gabriel, the messenger. Okay, who stands in the presence of God. Then we also have the cherubs in Genesis 3:24. They are being described as flaming sword flashing back and forth. And also in Ezekiel 10, the cherubs, you find them in the heavenly holy of holies. Okay, and also you have the seraphims or the seraphs. They are actually the burning ones, okay? They are no, or the fiery one or the noble ones. You see them in Isaiah 6:1-4, you know, where they acclaim the threefold acclaim of God's holiness. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All right, and also you have these angels, they have different functions, positions, groupings, and responsibilities. Like, for example, Michael is a warrior, is a warrior angel, the chief commander-in-chief, in fact. Gabriel, of course, is the messenger. Okay, there are also angels sent to minister to all of us who will inherit salvation. Angels also can take on human form, okay, as in Hebrews 13:2. And also, our favorite one, okay, the Bible talks about guardian angels, okay, who has an audience with God. Okay, so every one of us, we have a guardian angel. Now, essentially, angels are messengers of God. Okay, and sometimes when we encounter the people who encounter angels in the Bible, or when we worship, yeah, if there are angels around, there is a sense of the holiness of God that comes with them. Okay, so on the other hand, we also have the demons, devil's demon cohorts. All right, Ephesians 6:12 says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Some commentators have said that they actually refer to various ranks of evil forces that are in this world. Okay, they are all unseen. Okay, unseen. That's it. The second point I want to make is that there is war in the unseen realm, yeah? There is war in the unseen realm. Throughout scriptures, we can see how unseen realm affects the natural... Sorry, yeah? Whether we realize it or not, there is a constant battle going on between the armies of God and Satan's demonic forces. Okay, the angel armies of the Lord are waging war against the demons of darkness to contend for the souls of humanity. Okay, Satan's plan is to take captive the mind of human so that he can ultimately rule the world. And his desire is to be worshipped. That is why there is this war over our lives, our soul. Okay, and we can see that in Daniel 10, you know, when Daniel prayed to God, you know, on the very first day, the Bible says that God already heard it and sent angel Gabriel to bring a message. Okay, but there was this principality power by the name of the Prince of Persia that was trying to hinder it. So God had to send angel Michael, the warrior, to be at war with the Prince of Persia. So there is a war going on, whether we like it or not. You know, like for example, you know, as I was preparing for this sermon, this entire week, it was so difficult. You know, so many distractions when I want to sit down and type. Here you've got an SMS, there you've got a phone call. You know, everything is legitimate. You know, needs are legitimate. But they just came at the wrong time. All right? And throughout this week, I think it was on Wednesday, I had a dream. In my dream, I was attacked. But of course, God protected me. You know, and all these things. Sometimes when I begin to take on a meeting or things like that, or when I begin to sense the presence of God, the anointing of God on my life, you know, I will get a call from somebody, and then that somebody will start bombarding me. Dig-dog, 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 dig-dog. But I stay cool. You know why? God inside, ma. You know, so sometimes when things like that happen to you, stay cool. God is on your side. So I know it is there's this war that's going on. Satan is just trying to distract me from doing the will of God. You see, the devil is very afraid when we do the will of God. When we step into the destiny. Because when we step into our destiny, that is when he is defeated. The manifold wisdom of God will be released and shown throughout when we begin to do this. All right? So we need to know how to step into it. The third point, very quickly. The spiritual realm governs the natural realm. This is my belief. All right? We have heard of the story from David Strong where, you know, where the land was infested with rats. And they couldn't do anything about it right at the start. So what did they do? They engaged the enemy in a spiritual warfare. And after praying through the land, walking through the land, they all disappeared. Now, isn't that very miraculous? Doesn't that tell you that there is this unseen realm around us that is causing things to happen in our natural world. All right, Satan, of course, he will try to attack us and cause things like disease, sickness, discouragement to come upon us. But when we engage him in warfare, God will begin to release his power, to break his power from us, from our lives. All right, so throughout scriptures, we can see how the unseen realm affects the natural realm. The spiritual realm governs the natural. Things happen in the spirit realm before it takes place in the natural. If we can win the battle in the realm of the spirit, we can also win the battle in the realm of the natural. All right? Because of time constraint, I'm going to be very quick. All right? In Exodus 17, verse 8 to 13, this is the account of Moses going up to the hill, on top of the hill, while Joshua and his armies were fighting at the valley of Rephidim. All right? Now, the question is, why did Moses have to go up to a hill together with Aaron and Hur? Okay, why did he have to do that? Because Moses knew the principle of winning a war in the heavenlies first, before the war can be won in the natural. So the Bible tells us that as Moses lifted his hands, Joshua and his armies and the armies of Israel, they prevailed. But when he put down his hand, the Amalekites, the enemy, they prevailed. So Moses' hands were tired. So Aaron and Hur, they held up his hand, and the enemy lost because of that. So that's another principle, yeah? So when we pray to God, something happens in the heavenlies. We begin to move the hand of God into our situation. Now, prayer is so, so important. I will talk about it later again. But if we don't pray, we will allow the enemy to take advantage of us. When we don't pray, we are powerless. We need to pray. Say what we want. You know, like, you know, we can say that, oh, I do this, you know, I read the word, I do all these disciplines. But I tell you the truth, without prayer, it doesn't work. We need to pray as a church. Now, I tell you, God has a destiny for your life. But that destiny will not come into fulfillment if you do not pray. If you do not call upon the Lord. Because the Satan is not going to be so easy on you. He is defeated, but he's not stupid. He wants to stop you from entering into God's best. And when you enter into God's best, you know what's going to happen? Your heart will be filled with joy. You will find that there is fulfillment in life. And life is worth the living. You will begin to sense the manifest presence of God. Wherever you go, you become that agent to release the presence of God. I've seen this happening again and again. The anointing just hits you. And when the anointing hits the minister, it hits the meeting. The anointing breaks the yoke, the Bible says. We need the anointing of God like never before. But that anointing is costly. It will cost you your life. How do you be anointed? Very easy. Surrender to God. Give God your heart. Give God everything. And his anointing will come upon you. Be obedient to his word. The anointing will break the yoke as you walk in the will of God. So how do we win this battle? I've already covered it a little bit, okay? How do we win this battle? Number one, how do we win this battle in the unseen world? Okay, minum sikit, ya. Number one, we need to know who we are in Christ. In fact, this battle plan has already been outlined in the book of Ephesians. Yeah, I think it's Watchman Nee who says that the book of Ephesians is kind of divided into three sections, which is to sit and to walk and to stand, I think. All right? So, I think this coincides with what he says as well. First, we need to know who we are in Christ. But before we can know who we are in Christ, we need to first know who Christ is. who is Christ? Yeah, the Bible says, okay, Christ is first the maker and the ruler of all the unseen realms. God made, okay, he made all these realms, yeah. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Okay, so that tells you that Christ is our maker. Number two, Christ is our ruler. Okay, the ruler of the unseen realms. Ephesians 1:20 to 21, it says that he worked in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So Christ has won the victory. When Christ died on the cross, the victory was won. Okay, he ruled over the principalities and the powers. And who are we in Christ? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 7, it says, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable richness of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is the ruler now, he makes us to be rulers together with him. Now, this is very, very important, yeah. I think not only you, I sometimes fall into the mentality that, I'm a victim, lah. Let him attack me, never mind. Let him attack my weakness, lah. I just give in to it. Ask God for forgiveness, be done with it. That's not the will of God. The will of God is that we rise above our weaknesses. We be overcomers by the power of his Holy Spirit. That's the best that God has for you and me. So in Christ, we have been saved and made alive. More than that, we have been raised and seated with him in the heavenly places. In other words, we have been saved to rule and reign with God in the unseen realms and the seen realms. We have authority over the enemy because he is a defeated foe. Christ triumphed over him at the cross. Another verse in scripture says that God has given us what? To trample on snakes and scorpions. Given us what? Authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. What is authority? How do we have this authority? We have authority in the name of Jesus. When we yield the name of Jesus, the demons will have to go. That's the difference between power and authority. The demonic forces have power, but we have authority in Christ. And when there's a clash between authority and power, authority wins. The policeman, he has authority vested by the government. We have our beautiful car. We go at fast speed. We have a powerful car. Powerful, beautiful car. But when he raises his hand, what happens? Who needs to stop? We. Because he has the authority to stop us. Although we are more powerful with the vehicle. So even though we may be weak as humans, but as we align with God, as we move together with God, as we walk in the will of God, the authority will be vested upon us, or is already vested on us, and we can overcome the power of the enemy. If you are struggling with something demonic in your life, let me tell you this morning that you can have authority over that thing. Nobody else has greater authority over that thing than you yourself, because you have the power of choice to choose to walk in the power of God and the will of God. Second point, what do we need to do to win the battle? Okay, before that, okay, John Dawson says this, okay. We need to lift ourselves out of a self-centered spirituality mentality that says that we are victims rather than warriors. Okay, say with me. Say, I am a warrior. I am a warrior. Like that? Come on, say it with a little bit more guts in you, okay? Let's say, I am a warrior! Amen! Alright, I want to hear that, okay? We're not victims, okay? We can grow as a church because we are warriors. Okay, we are not meant to stay at this number, seriously. Alright, we are meant to grow. Would you say amen to that? Okay, so army of God, please rise up, okay? If each one of us were to bring 2 persons to Christ every year, what do you think will happen to this church? It will grow. Simple. You do your part, I do my part. We bring them to church. Or we can release them somewhere, also can. Okay, but I'm a bit selfish. They have to come here. Alright, they are our people, okay? Because we save them, we are their spiritual parents. Okay? So next, what we need to do is that we need to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16-18 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed with each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Alright? So, what does walking in the Spirit mean? Okay? Now, walking in the Spirit means that we are to listen and to follow, obey the leading of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. First, we must know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just give you very practical ways. Okay? How do you listen to the voice of God? Okay, this is from my mentor. Yeah, these two verses. Huh? We need to be still, like what Jeremy says, and we need to be small. Okay, if you want to hear the voice of God, we need to separate ourselves from the noises and the busyness of life. Okay, there are many things that can draw us away from His presence, good and bad. Okay, there are things that can distract us, like our cell phones, you know, news, sports, entertainment. So we need to be separated from all these things, yeah? And we need to be in an unhurried environment. God, I give you 15 minutes only this morning. God, I need this, need this, this, need this, need this, need this, need this. How to hear the voice of God? Cannot, alright? We got to give God time. Okay, that's why we have our silent retreats. We spend like about 5-6 hours there. Yeah, and many times I hear the voice of God during our silent retreats. We need to be silent. We need to be still. All right? We need to be small. If we want to hear from the Lord, then we must be humble enough to obey what He says. Okay, we need to acknowledge and cry out to God that we cannot make it without Him. Okay, personally, what I would do is that, just to share with you my personal experience, what I would do is that before I take on a meeting, I will carve out time, all right, maybe days, just to be still. I'll go to my favorite spot, which I won't tell you where, okay, but there, nobody hears me, nobody disturbs me, I talk to God alone, I meditate on His Word. Sometimes when I feel so down, when I cannot break through, you know what I'm saying? When I feel that I cannot hear the voice of God, I will pray and pray and pray. I will bind, you know, the enemy. I will break the enemy's power over my mind. Huh? I will declare His Word. I will put on worship music and do all these things so that I come into a place of restedness and peace where I'm ready to hear His voice. But that requires time. That requires sacrifice. But every time I do that, I can tell you, you know, it's not the people that I minister to are blessed. I myself am the one who is blessed. You know, God has blessed my life so much just because I've chosen to set aside time to listen to Him, to listen to really pour out my heart. You know, it's very, very important. I say again and again that if you want to establish a spiritual connection with the Lord, it has to start with your heart. You need to talk to the Lord from deep within you. You need to tell Him what's bothering you. In fact, sometimes he doesn't he doesn't even do, I mean, he doesn't even do that. He doesn't wait for us. He will just speak to us. I remember one time I was up on a hill. You know, I was struggling with fear in my life. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying, "What are you afraid of?" And even when he begins to speak, tears begin to roll down my cheek. I mean, it's very simple, right? What are you afraid of? Anybody also can say this, what? Any minister also can give that word. But it is precisely at that moment, the rhema word of God begin to penetrate into my spirit. That's what we need, church. We need to hear the rhema word of God, the word of the season. I'm not saying that the Logos is not important. Jesus used the Logos word of God when he encountered the devil in the wilderness. But for us, we need to hear that word of the season that will break through into our spirits. All the rubbish in our minds will go the moment the rhema comes upon you. You know why I chose to take this message on unseen reality? I actually didn't want to preach. This is a very busy month for me. But because all the elders have to do it, I have to do it. But I chose this week because when I was reading the scriptures a month back, the word unseen suddenly hit my spirit. That was when I knew that I had to preach this message this morning. It's important, church. We need to listen to the Lord. We need to walk in the Spirit. Listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Right. I think I'll move on. I'm not going to cover the holiness section. Although, oh yeah, maybe I just mentioned a bit about holiness. We need to be holy, yeah, by the way. Okay? So, we know that, right? Okay? I mean, don't need to say like this one. So, many times, you know, because without holiness, we cannot see God. Okay? But I want to encourage you, even if you feel that you're not holy, still give your time to God. That's when He will begin to do the surgery. That's when He will begin to clear all the rubbish out of your mind and heart. Alright? God has done that with me a time again and again and again. And He will do it with you. Alright? So, maybe let's just read this. I think it's important. Holiness. From Don Norrie, yeah, Breaking Demonic Strongholds. Holiness will separate the earthly from the spiritual. The process of holiness is the process of separating the things that are of God from the things that distract us from God. There is a big difference between holiness and legalism. Holiness brings us closer to Jesus and allows us to hear His voice. Legalism is the function of the flesh and takes us away from Jesus. Legalism assumes that refraining from certain things is what God really requires, but does not bring you into a relationship with God. True holiness, however, draws you to God from our hearts, which naturally separates the things of the flesh that will harm us and our friendship with God. Holiness is not a dress or action. Sorry, holiness is not in dress or action, but in the condition of the heart. Alright? Third point, final, I promise you. We need to learn how to use and yield the weapons of our warfare. Okay? I don't want to go through this again, but just let me just read this, okay? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons, yeah? We cannot fight a spiritual battle with natural weapons of or our flesh. Example, there's a place for voicing our dissatisfaction against injustices on the road. There's a place for that. But we need to realize that it takes more than just natural means to change the situation in our country. Okay, the churches have to resort to spiritual means to win this warfare in the heavenlies over our land before anything can permanently change. All right, Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. I've already said, number one, you know, of course, okay, I'm not going to do this, okay? I'm just going to tell you that some of our weapons of our warfare that we can use, okay? But you see, these weapons of our warfare, they're very important in a sense that you cannot simply use them as you like, you know? In the name of Jesus, be out. I mean, You know, even the sons of Sceva, they used the name of Jesus and they got themselves into big trouble. You know, the demons actually beat them. All right? Why? Because when you use all this weapon of a warfare, you must have the power behind the warfare, the weapons. You know what I'm saying? We need to have that relationship with God before that warfare weapon can be effective. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will reveal to us, okay, at this point, okay, use the name of Jesus. Oh, here. Use the name of Jesus. Here. Cut the line. Bind this thing. Loose this thing. God will instruct us if we walk by the Spirit. Today, I want to share with you one powerful weapon that I feel that the church needs to engage in. All right, I say this, the weapon that we need to use, okay? And that weapon is the weapon of fasting, okay? Now, I have seen this happening again and again and again. That, you know, that when we fast, we become very sensitive to the voice of God. And God, when you hear the voice of God, when the word of God is released, that's when the victory is. Many times, when we fail to hear the voice of God, that's when we are defeated. All right, so fasting positions us in a position where we can receive very clearly from God. I want to give you a testimony. 3 years back, I think I was ministering with my mentor at in Sabah, at an Anglican diocese. Okay, they were having a prayer conference and things like that. Now, it's very, very funny. Yeah, I don't know why, but for some reason, I felt in my heart that I needed to fast a little lah. You know, so what I do is I just fast like maybe one meal a day, you know, that won't make me die, okay, or make me kurus, okay. So I just did it. Now, little did I know that when I was embarking on a fast, it was actually together with, in line with the Lent, I think, or something like that. I didn't know that I was doing it, okay, but it was led of God. So what happened was during the meeting, I could see, you know, the power of God just flowed. Seriously. I mean, like, I don't see this every Sunday. But I remember at one moment, you know, when I was up on stage and I was just playing and worshipping, leading the people in worship, my mentor, Pastor Christina Ang, said, okay, over to you. That means she's passing the authority over to me to lead the people. And I began to sing a new song to God. And this lady there, boom, fell under the power. Now, there must be something, right? How can my song cause her to fall? Something must be happening in the realm. Then God ministered to this lady. Okay, another one. I want to tell you, during that trip, it's very, very interesting. God allowed me to have a feel of what it means to be treated like a prophet. I was actually meant to be checked into a hotel. But I was hosted by this couple. I forgot their names. I think the wife is probably Susan. But I was chauffeur driven into their house. They gave me a room to stay and things like that. Now, I thought it was a very innocent thing, right? Nothing, right? I mean, people host you lah. But you know what? When I went into the house, I was very curious. I spoke to her and I asked, hey, who are these people lah? Her the names of her son starts with the letter S. Maybe, okay, I'm just making it up. Okay, maybe you've got Sam lah. Then maybe Samuel. Then maybe Sebastian. And then whatever. Then there was this name Still. S-I-S-T-I-L-L. Still. I was very intrigued. You know, I said, who is this Still? And she wasn't very wanting to tell me the truth, you know. But I kept asking. I said, this name is very interesting. Still. Why is this name so interesting? And then she revealed that son of hers is an adopted son who has left home for many years. Okay, there was a squabble in the family. He got involved with relationships that were not good for him and things like that. And there she teared as she was talking to me. So that day we prayed and the heavens opened. You know, a few months later, she told me, still called. And they hugged each other. There were tears. The relationship was mended. That was just the start. I traced back. fasting. Probably did it. There's power, church, in fasting, setting yourself one side apart for the service of the Lord. One more thing I want to mention is the prayer of agreement. Again, I say to you, if you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The Bible also talks about one chasing 1,000 to flight and two putting 1,000 to flight. Church, when the elders call for corporate prayer, there is a reason behind it. One, we can do this much. Two, we can do much more. 10, how much more? 100, how much more? Let's come together, let's pray. Let 2017 be a year of prayer and really seeking the heart of God. Time spent with God, I say again and again, time spent with God is not wasted time. In fact, at the end of the day, we are the ones who will be blessed. I want to end with this testimony of this church. Of this church. Just in Penang. I remember very vividly in the year 1999, there was a prayer conference organized by Dr. Joe Ozawa from Singapore. He came to this prayer conference. By the way, this testimony is true and real, because I spoke to Reverend Wong, who was the former pastor of the Ayer Itam Chinese Methodist Church. Okay? What happened was, before that prayer conference, Ayer Itam Chinese Methodist Church was in a state of disunity, okay? The leaders, there were conflict in the leadership. The people were cold. You know, the spiritual climate is low. In fact, attendance was going down. Attendance was going down, yeah? And for some reason, God began to move, okay? To reveal to Dr. Joe Ozawa that they need to bring a group of intercessors to the church and to pray. Now, how did it happen? Yeah, at the prayer conference, Reverend Wong, who was already I was told he was at another conference in Setiawan. He felt that he needed to come for this conference as well. And it was in that conference that they met through a divine appointment. So a group of intercessors went there, went to the church, and they began to pray. Okay, they did spiritual mapping, you know, whereby they discovered the power lines and all those stuff. And the intercessors began to cut those power lines. The lines that has power over the church, yeah? So, these lines were cut by the power of God through the intercessors. And what happened? Okay, this was what happened, yeah? The church attendance grew 10% after that every year. Rise in conversion and baptism. Healing and deliverance took place. Tithes grew 20%. Giving to missions increased. People dedicated their lives to full-time ministry. And by the time it was 2003, from 1999, 2003, the church was 350. Formerly, it was it went down to about 180. So there was a marked and stark increase. Prayer meetings formerly were a handful of people. Then it was about 70. The presence of God was very strong in the meeting. But he said that the key thing was deep repentance. Deep repentance brought about transformation of God into that church. After that thing happened, the neighborhood began to hear about Jesus. And the neighborhood there, they were saved by God. Now, I tell you, if God can do this for this church, yeah, I want God to do it for my church. Amen. Come on. I tell you, 2017 is the year of harvest. I promise you, if you will be faithful to share the gospel, if you will be faithful to pray to God and seek God's face, surrender to Him, get His power, and you will see this church explode. I promise you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land and forgive their sins. You know, our lives will be changed, but it will need the power of God. It will need this supernatural intervention from a supernatural God. We need that power to wipe off the enemy that is in the unseen realm before we can see all these things happening. So my plea to you, church, let's get on our knees. Let's pray. Let's intercede. Let's wrestle in prayer. Let's kill the devil. Okay, and we will see things happening. All right, I think I have said more than enough. All right, she summarized this whole thing. All right. So, what we'll do is we'll just pray to God. Okay? Okay, I want you to talk to God. Okay, just with this in mind. Okay, that God has a plan for you. All right? And that plan will have to be supernaturally enacted. All right? In your life. All right? And let's ask God for grace and the power to stand against the power of the enemy so that our church will grow. Father, we want to bless you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. Thank you that our lives can be changed. Our weaknesses can be overcome. Souls of our friends and our neighbors, oh God, our dear ones, can be saved, oh God, because you are Almighty God. You are more than able, oh God, to touch them and to heal them and to bring them to yourself. So, Father, as a church, we want to offer you our hearts. We ask, O God, that you will draw us closer to you. You will make us strong, O God, against the enemy. That you will teach us your ways, O God, of how to bind the enemies, O God, and his plans, O God, and lose the purposes and the kingdom of God, O God, over this church and over our land, O God. We want to see change, O God, but we know, God, that this change can only come from you, O God. So, Father, we petition before you. God, we cry out before you. We ask, oh God, that you will strengthen us, oh God, that we will stand up and we will fight the enemy, oh God, until we see your glory, oh God, penetrating the natural world in this land, oh God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you will just touch us right now, oh God, wherever we are. Areas of struggles in our lives, Father, we ask you to touch us. Let the anointing be released right now in Jesus' name. Release the anointing of God, oh God, over our hearts, over our minds, oh God. Oh God, break the strongholds, oh God, that we will be able to see things clearly as they are supposed to be seen, oh God. That we will be able to see things from your eyes, oh God. So, Father, I just commit us to your loving hands, oh God. Just protect us as we go our separate ways. And Lord, help us to be mindful that you love us and that you have made us victors in Christ. And all God's people say, amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you for your time. So sorry.